So everybody's ready for Christmas? You wish it would just go ahead and happen this week instead of next week, wouldn't you? You're ready. Today in our liturgical year and celebration of the themes that we do with the season of Advent is, whilst our first week was hope, then we talked about peace, and today is joy. You may find that interesting. Our last hymn is Love Came Down at Christmas. I'm practicing for next week. Talking about love. We're hitting all the themes this Sunday, but the primary one I want to think about a little bit is joy. In your memory bank, what's the story connected with Christmas that is joyful for you? What's your story of great joy? The birth of Christ? Mine's not nearly that elegant, I'll tell you real quick. It's one of those times, like, we would go to my grandparents, my mom's mom and dad, and I had my own set little corner every year. Some of you have heard me tell this. Grandma had the carpet that left tracks when you walked through it. You know, you could tell where everybody had walked. So I drew my little line in the corner, and I was the youngest grandkid, so I was stuck in the coldest corner right by the door. But I had the greatest secret. Because my granddad would always build a fire in the fireplace in the living room every Christmas because it was ambiance. And then we would fill it full of wrapping paper. Don't do that. It's bad for the environment, and it's bad for you, and it's bad for the chimney. But that's what we did. It's from really crazy colors. Fireplace is on the other end of the room. I'm over here in this corner right by the front door with my little traced out square. It was so comfortable and nice. It was lovely. And, you know, the family's all gathered about and presents. Grandma always made sure everybody got the same thing. There were five grandsons and one granddaughter, and there's a little difference there, but otherwise it was all the same. Had to match up. It was quite humorous. But some of that joy experience with those times of family, and those are the good times. And, you know, anytime we go back to be with family, sometimes there's always that angst in our life about whatever role we played as a child. We'll have to step back into that role, whether it be the peacemaker or the joy or the person who is in charge and making sure stuff happens, or whatever your role oftentimes growing up is, you're back in that role when you're surrounded by our families. That's what we do. That's part of human nature, and that's system family theory and all that fun stuff. So with that comes some joy and familiarity, but also comes some dread and aggravation and all that fun stuff too. So it's a huge emotional time, but somehow in that, hopefully we can see through that triteness what eventually winds up as aggravation and distress, and figure out the real joy. To get back to what Marian said, the Christ moment of Christmas, and celebrate that. We do in our culture often talk about what joy is, what joy, celebration, and fun. And you know, if you watch the commercials, it's the bigger the gift, the more joy it brings, and the greater the gift, or the more power of the new computer, or the bigger the screen of the TV, that's where our joy is found by our culture. But it's not necessarily that way. I think something comes from the experience of life that makes you realize that it's not always about stuff. I finally get what, you know, parents and grandparents talk about. Well, just don't give me anything. Just, I've got enough. Don't worry about it. I finally get what that means. You know, it's not about the stuff. It's about being able to be together in the good moments and the celebration of that and the hope that comes with that. That's the joy. In our culture, it's often hard to separate and to divide what our culture tells us is brings us joy, and what life and the Spirit and living in the way of faithful way of God brings us joy. It's different. I mean, man, look at the food and the dessert at Christmas that we have in the good years. And we just like, oh gosh, and you just eat your fill. And what happens afterwards? You can't move, you can't go to sleep, you can't concentrate on anything else because you've had too much to eat oftentimes. It's an overabundance of stuff all around us. And what we think brings us joy and what we celebrate in our lives actually doesn't do a whole lot for us. Kind of makes us miserable. But I think part of what we have to hear during the story of Advent is that the joy that Christ brings, the joy that comes because of that little child laid in a manger long, long ago, the joy changes in our world and what we celebrate is different. I think the prophet Isaiah is helpful for us to remember that this is the promise of salvation that's delivered. What was laid in the nativity long ago was not a 75-inch plasma screen LED TV. It wasn't even a new car. It was the very gift of God. God personified, God incarnated, so that we as humanity could know and experience this great God that created us in a fuller way. I mean, we had the laws, we had the stories of the faith, we had those long before Jesus came, but we didn't have Jesus, the one that really, really put a human face on who God is for us and for the world. Long ago. In that manger was the very salvation of all of humanity. The very gift of life. The very bounden determination of justice. The very gift of God's love. This promise of hope. And this great peace in a way that there's no other way that this peace could be brought about and be delivered. This little baby. There's so much in this little child in a manger long ago. And that little child is the very gift of God and the very salvation of the world. You know, we talk about salvation oftentimes in the church. We'll bring it up and, you know, we're like, oh, you know, I'm thankful for my salvation. Well, what does that mean? And, you know, there are a lot of definitions, and there are a lot of scholars that are much more gifted verbally and more capable and have thought about it more hours than I have. But salvation is both, I think, for us, it's being saved from something bad, but it's also being saved for something good. I think part of what we say when we hear salvation is forgiveness of our sins, was the old-fashioned term to talk about it. It's to hear that God doesn't hold grudges against us, that God loves us despite the things that we don't get right all the time, that God forgives us for when we don't live up to God's highest teachings, God's highest standards. God doesn't hold grudges, but our salvation is not that we're freed from something, that we don't have to go to hell, be punished for eternity, experience the hatred of life. But salvation comes that we're saved for something. That we too are saved in God's way, that we may be a beacon of hope and of light and of peace and of joy and love in the world. That the human nature of who we are and those things in our life that sometimes keep us back, hold us back, doesn't have the final say. What we're saved for is that we too can be beacons of hope and light. It's not because of something we do in our own lives. It's because of the gift of this little Christ child in the manger long ago. It's the gift of salvation that he brings. It's the promise of life that he holds. That's our gift. And in that is our joy, that causes us to continue to challenge the injustices that we see around us. It's that gift of joy and that hope that's laid in a manger long ago that allows us to be willing to take on the challenges in our life, whatever they may be. We've all got them. So many levels in so many ways. It's that little infant. How in the world can that little child, that baby, that even grows into a man? I mean, say he was 6'5" and, you know, huge. How in the world could he have the capability to take on the injustices of the world then or now? It's because it's not of the human nature of Christ, it's the divine nature of Christ that was within him. That the very gift of the goodness of God is present in him and with him and is him. And that's the joy that we take on when we become those people of God. When we become Christians, when we follow after him, when he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And then we go into the world with this hope relying in our heart and because of the season. All glory, honor, and power be to the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen.